Hello. So mic test. Let's turn. How do we turn the fan up here? I know it's this one, isn't it? So Juliana and I just went to see Rogue One. I had seen it before. I went to see a midnight screening, but now we've just been across there, and we're going home in the car, and we're talking about it so much. And Juliana just said, "Hey, let's just record this, and this could be the Rogue One podcast if we do it."
Right.
So
I have to get it off.
Get stuff out of your head. Let's just talk a bit about this. Well, let me just say that I went to see it at the midnight screening last night. Well, not last night. At 1 o'clock yesterday morning. And because I'd never done this before. I'd never gone like, I've never seen a midnight screening of a movie ever. And I was thinking, well, let's just, because we were on the couch, weren't you? And like, hey, when should we see it? And I was like, I'm doing the midnight screening because
I put your nose onto it, yeah.
I know. Because I'd come back from Brazil and my body clock was messed up anyway. And I thought, what's just another night of being up until 3 o'clock in the morning? So I went to see this at midnight, and I thought, maybe it's because it's going to be the assembled, Star Wars nerds of Berlin, the people who would go along there. And I was kind of disappointed that there weren't anybody, people dressed up as stormtroopers.
Maybe they were at the German showing.
Could have been at the German showing. There was an OV showing. The IMAX showing was not the OV showing. Was the
OV3D.
No, I saw the OV, the original version.
Yeah.
But the German version, the IMAX midnight screening was the German version.
Yes.
So those would be there.
Of course.
But only like two people had blasters and things. Lots of people had like Star Wars t-shirts on, the kind of bits and pieces like that.
Yeah,
so
the cool kids.
Yeah, so cool. Anyway, so I saw the movie and I liked the movie. And I put a thing on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. If you follow me there, you might have seen it with my thumb up and a mild frown on my face, but a thumb up. Generally, it was good. It was interpretive. How did you interpret it when you saw it?
I didn't think it looked anything like happy. It looked a bit like,
no,
that was the sound to it.
What? What? When I said this picture is my review.
Yeah, I thought like, okay, that was not the perfect movie.
It's a thumb up, but it's a thumb. It's one thumb up with a frown, but. It's a movie that I knew I definitely wanted to see again. So we when we got home and the next day we just booked some tickets today. I knew though that I did not want to see it in 3D because I saw it in 3D and the 3D it just this is, first of all people saying it's a dark movie. Not only is it like dark, maybe they were saying it's dark tonally, but what it really is it's kind of dark. Just on screen, it starts off and it's just kind of like the screen is dark and my eyes couldn't cope with the 3D. So we saw it again just now in 2D.
And a little independent cinema.
Yeah.
It was hard to find a 2D.
Yeah, well,
we
couldn't just go to the normal. We actually live next to, a 5-minute walk away from the Potsdamer Platz in Berlin, which is where the main cinema is, the main cinema in Berlin. Actually, one of the main cinemas in Germany, if you think about it. Like,
German premieres.
Yeah, like, whenever you do German, like the Berlin or German premiere, it's in the Sony Center. It's all, because it's got an outside, it's like an indoor-outside bit, an outside-indoor bit.
Yeah.
And she can do red carpet stuff there. So that's our local cinema. I guess it's like going to Times Square in New York or, Leicester Square, where the Leicester Square Odeon, those big theatres like in the city centres. We live 5 minutes away from, 5 minutes walk away from one of those kind of places.
But they only show 3D.
Well, yeah, and they didn't show this movie in 3D, so we went to a little independent local cinema.
The other choice would have been going to the IMAX, which is even more crazy.
Which we did for Doctor Strange,
and that was worth it.
And when we came into this cinema, we sat down, and Juliana says, "Oh, I can see the pixels on the projection," and I was like, "Yes, because it's not in like it was when we went to see the IMAX, and it was like you're watching this in 11 points around with speakers in the ceiling and speakers in the sound and 4K dual laser projection, all these different kind of things." We had like
crazy.
Five different announcements in the IMAX to tell us how amazing it was going to be before we got
to it. It was amazing.
It was amazing, yeah. Doctor Strange did really good stuff. Anyway, so that's the story of what we got there. And I just want to say that thing about watching it in 3D was a mistake. I wish I'd have just seen it in 2D to start with. Because one of my big criticisms of the Force Awakens was that I thought the 3D was garbage in that movie, or there was parts of it where they just couldn't keep up, the 3D retrofitting. They were just like, here's a forest and there's lots of branches and there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of layers of depth in a forest, and they were just like, well, let's just have it one depth in the back,
let's just have one piece of a grass How do you say the grass thing? Like
a little reed, a little bit in the foreground.
Has one of them in the foreground to make it sure that people understand, look, guys, this is 3D.
But it's out of focus. We know it's in the foreground because it's out of focus. You don't need to have it. You don't need to have something not in... cars. Bit of traffic in the evening at the moment.
Some police stuff going on.
Oh, is that why? Yeah. Oh, that's
and
why we're waiting here.
Is always the
so,
thing
maybe so,
put the phone a bit further down.
No, no, it's good. They're not going to see us. So we're recording this on the Voice Memos app on Juliana's phone because the microphone is broken on my phone. So... So what I want to say is that we're not gonna give any spoilers quite yet. We just want to give overall impressions. I'm kind of annoyed, and this is what happened. I was listening to the podcast of the Hello Internet podcast, and they did a whole episode last year about The Force Awakens, and then like the next episode, Brady on that podcast, he says, "Oh, I'm kind of annoyed that we did an episode on The Force Awakens because, like, then I listened to other people's podcasts and they all said exactly the same thing and had the same kind of opinions." And I had the same feeling. I was like, "Yeah, I'm kind of annoyed that we went on so long about The Force Awakens because so many other podcasts did recordings and it was all over the place, you know, so much stuff." So, and at the time I thought, in my first viewing of The Force Awakens, I thought, well, good film, great film, but since then never even had any inclination to watch The Force Awakens again. Have you watched it again? You haven't seen it in German or on TV or anything?
No, nothing.
You can't just like go because you won't, people can't see your facial expressions.
I understand. I thought we'd just continue our
if this is the podcast, we can't just go straight into spoilers.
Insert this into the podcast.
Into what? No, this is the podcast.
Oh, this is the
podcast.
See, this is what I didn't understand.
Well, I'm not gonna
continue talking about it straight away.
I'm not gonna do any editing. That's the point. I don't edit the podcast. We just talk.
Insert it.
No, I'm not gonna insert anything. This is it. So anyway, Rogue One, let's get onto it. What did you think overall? Yeah.
Can I tell me again? Like, we already had this conversation before I started saying we should record it.
Yeah.
Tell me, what do you like about Star Wars? What are the things you like?
Yes. Well, this is the thing. Like, what I like. But I don't want to get too much into spoilers because that's the whole point, is that to say what this thing does have in it and doesn't have in it is. But
no, but it doesn't need to. You don't have to tell me what it has in it. Just be general.
Well.
In all the prequels, sequels.
I quite like the up close action. You know what? Where Star Wars begins is a Darth Vader coming in, and there's like guys with guns behind walls and like poking guns around behind walls in a set. You know, and then what I like about Star Wars is, you know, some stuff on Tatooine. But then when they get back into the Death Star and they're running around the Death Star, and it's all like, you know, I like the running around with guns and like sneaking into things, you know, kind of like the heist nature of like, oh, there's a princess, we've got to rescue her. And they go around and there's like adventures in corridors and adventures and that kind of stuff. And that's what I really like as well about the end of Empire Strikes Back. It's in Cloud City, there's intrigue, there's a bit of like, oh, who knows what's the plan here, is there double crossing, what's going on, a bit of lightsaber face stuff like that. That's what I like about Star Wars. And there's other stuff that I like about Star Wars, but you know, that kind of showdown between good and evil with blasters and lightsabers is what I have.
So I think in the three movies, four, five and six, they went on all the good things and all the things that I liked.
Yeah. It's
the
all in
problem
there. Yeah.
Now with extending it to the front and to the back and then sideways and stuff, they are just repeating themselves in all the sequels, prequels, wherever. They have certain things. They have certain things that they're always telling, and they have things that they're always going to repeat over and over again in different, with different people, in different places. Some in Iceland kind of places. Some in deserty kind of places. Some in icy kind of places. Yeah. And some in jungly kind of places. And stuff like that.
And you don't want to see that anymore.
I don't want to see that anymore. I want to see something new. There must be something else going on. They could come up with and there's a front of the Empire or a front of the Republic that discovers new planets, new life form, new whatever.
Which you want in game Star Trek.
No, but there must be some other stories going on and not always the same.
The thing is with Rogue One, that this is a different story. We've not seen a story like this before. However, it's a story that we've not seen with the same ingredients.
Yes, that's it. That's what I mean. The ingredients are the same.
Yeah.
You have somebody chasing something. You have going to different planets to get the puzzles together from people.
I mean, I don't want to... This is only a mild spoiler because it's so expected now. That there's more X-Wings turn up at the end and there's another space battle in this one. And I thought when
I
watched this...
Well, they have to connect this to the...
Yeah, of course. But again, don't want to say too much about it. But like, I was really excited at the end of this movie that there seemed to be an end of a movie and there wasn't going to be... We'd already seen some X-Wings earlier on. It's like, well, there's going to be a... We're going to have an end to the movie which doesn't include a space battle like Empire Strikes Back. Everyone likes Empire Strikes Back. And... I'm not saying one of the reasons people don't like it, but it doesn't have a big space battle at the end. You know, the space battle...
That's the reason why you like it.
The space battle sets it up, you know, the flying through the asteroid stuff, but that's not the payoff to the story. That's setting up the story.
Mm.
You know, the hyperdrive not working and flying through the asteroid belt and all those different kind of things. You know, that's story setup. It's not payoff.
Yeah.
And the payoff at the end of... Return of the Jedi, the payoff to that story, the space battle is only part of it. The actual payoff is the showdown between Luke and Vader and the Emperor, and there's other stuff going on, but that's what the payoff is. And it's sort of like the problem isn't solved by the space battle, you know. And in all these other movies, the problems are solved by space battles, whereas with Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, it isn't solved by a space battle. So I just want there to be another movie which isn't solved by a space battle. And we're sort of like most of them are now, you know. It's getting to the point where I was thinking, well, oh, you know, at least Revenge of the Sith, the third prequel, there isn't a space battle at the end of it. I mean, it starts off with a big space battle, but there isn't one at the, you know, it's sort of like, okay, that is a showdown, whatever, blah, blah. But, you know, when I'm... thinking back to the Revenge of the Sith fondly, that it doesn't end with a space battle and it doesn't have, you know, it's not cutting between a battle here and another part of battle there and another part of battle, you know, it's just sort of like one thing happening at the end.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
Like, I mean, you said we can just do like a little bit of spoiling.
No. I want to say a few other things, our opinions of it. So I would suggest see this movie because I think overall it's a good movie. Like, if you want to tell this story with ingredients that I'm kind of a bit sick of now because I'm just over. I just don't care about X-Wings. X-Wings aren't the thing that I just don't care about them anymore. Like. It's a good movie, I think.
You kind of now concentrated all on X-Wings. There's more going on than X-Wings.
Yes, of course, but that's why I want to talk about Gem.
The problem is not that they're X-Wings.
There is... No, that is the problem.
No,
Solve a problem without X-Wings.
No,
solve it. Star Wars
problem.
That
is not the problem of that movie. That problem is that it has all the things in it.
Yeah.
Not only the X-Wings.
But
you're
just
putting it down to the X-Wings.
Yeah,
it
but
has
I'm saying...
All the ingredients from the rest of... all the other movies.
I know what you're
it's
saying.
All in there.
But I like those
Every
other ingredients.
Every little bit. I am sick of all those ingredients.
No, I'm sick of some of them. That might be true for you.
But in general, there's just too much stuff that gets repeated over and over and over and over again.
No lightsaber battles in this one.
It doesn't matter. But all the other things.
Okay.
Everything is in there.
Yeah, okay.
Starting from the tiny bit of the beginning.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you mean. Anyway, but this is the thing, like... What this is now, it's almost become a genre and a setting. It's become, you know, like if you see a World War II movie, what they don't need to do in a World War II movie is progress the plot of World War II. You know, in a World War II movie, you're seeing a battle or a group of people doing a mission or something like that. You don't have to tell the full story of the defeat of the Third Reich. That's not what the job of a generic battle World War II movie is, if that makes sense. And that's what I like about this, is that it doesn't have to progress the world, it doesn't have to progress the overall story of good and evil and this and that, you know, and it's not like, oh, this is the Emperor here and doing this kind of thing, it's just one battle along the way. And the setting, just as much as when in the movies from the 1950s and 60s and 70s, which was set in World War II, nobody had to explain who Nazis were. Nobody had to explain what, you know, what this weapon was or that weapon was or what a plane was. You know, it was just like, okay, here's the mission, here's the gang of you know, here's the group of guys going on the mission. Yeah. Let's go on the mission, and it becomes the World War II movie becomes a genre with its own unique, with its own setting. You know, that doesn't need to be established each time. And what I liked about this movement is that there's no yellow crawl at the start. It just goes right. Star Wars.
What is a yellow crawl?
The scrolling text at the start. Yeah. It just goes. Rogue One. Let's go. And it just goes into it. And I like that. That now Star Wars. They finally decided that Star Wars can be just its own setting, its own thing. Mm. In the same way that when you put on a World War II movie and you see like Nazis and tanks and Spitfires and you know, that kind of stuff, you just go, right, we know what era we're in here, we know what's going on, let's just do it. And Star Wars is now big enough that they can just do that, and that's what I liked about it. So when it started and I was just like, oh, that's what it's going to be, and especially in the final mission when they start going there, and I was just like, oh, this is, if I just treat this as a normal war movie, is this a good, fun, normal war movie? And in that level I enjoyed it. It's just a Star Wars war movie, mission movie, you know, and they go on a mission.
A mission that we already know.
Yes, and we kind of know the outcome in some ways, because once we find out what the mission is, we know how it will probably end and what it's going to happen. And I do like how it links up together, except I thought this was going to be a smaller movie that didn't have to have that massive amount of, you know, space battle. I thought it was going to be the smaller movie in between them, and to see this size space battle happen at the end, I was just like, well, if there was a space battle happening that was that big, why isn't that in the main sequence of, like, why isn't that the main turning point? You know, why isn't that kind of stuff?
It feels like now that the Force Awakens feels like a smaller movie.
The battles that happen in those things, you're like, well, that's kind of small. You know, like, this feels like a much bigger battle than the battle at the end of Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
And this is,
and it's kind of weird because now it goes like, it doesn't go like, oh, we have four movies in a row, then we have to wait a bit, then we get to see everything that happened before, now we get to see everything that happened after, and now we get to see everything that happened
just before,
the middle somewhere. I'm not so sure. I'm not so much of a fan, I think, of this jump in time in the story. When I'm reading as well, I sometimes think that is way too much of a let me be clever here. Just tell the story how the story is.
So you feel you're sounding a lot kind of disappointed with the movie.
I'm actually more disappointed than you probably thought I would be.
Oh, well, I thought you'd generally enjoy. Well, actually, I'm not sure if I generally enjoy it. I knew you'd enjoy going to the movie, even if just to discuss it with me afterwards and things like that.
I think that's kind of the more enjoyed part.
So
I mean, I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. It's nothing bad with it if you take it as a standalone movie.
Yeah.
If you don't think about it.
But it doesn't work as a standalone movie because the emotional payoff at the end of what's happening
like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, no, you do understand what's going on, but you don't get how important it is unless you've seen the other movie. So you can't watch this in order. You know, it's sort of like in the machete order or these other orders of watching Star Wars. Where would it go?
If you want to watch in order, you could actually watch this one and then just continue with good movies.
No, you couldn't, because this one would be worse having not seen the other movies. You have to know these characters, you have to know these aliens, you have to know these ships, you have to have seen all of the original trilogy before you watch this, which is how it's been made, you know. They think, oh, everyone has seen the original trilogy and then watching this.
You also, because now that you have seen the original trilogy, which we did, is not too like surprising. Hey, there's a.
Well, don't give it away. Oh. Anyway, we don't need to do spoilers. I just want to say two other things. I like the robot. I like generally the cast. The characters aren't that great, but you know they don't need to be that good. There are some fun. There are good some moments, but I've seen Garth Edwards movies before. He did Monsters, which is almost completely devoid of comedy and fun. He also did Godzilla, the latest Godzilla movie, which is also almost completely devoid of comedy and fun, but it looks good.
I like
and
the robot.
What? The robot, yeah.
The robot was most fun.
So I do want to say that who the fuck put, what's his name, Michael Giacchino or whatever, the composer,
Giacchino.
Holy fuck, can he ruin a movie with the score? But this is, I'm going to do my impression of a climactic moment when they're climbing a tower. It's like this 2-minute section which is just two notes, and it's not, I mean, there's like one good theme in the whole thing, but half of that theme is based on a Star Wars theme.
Yeah, I must say, the bits where he quoted the other Star Wars theme, I thought,
makes me, I know it's weird to say this, but it just makes me long for the themes in the prequels.
Yes.
No, in the prequels? Yeah, he plays with the love theme, and he plays with the Anakin, Padme love theme at one point, and I'm like, that's that piece of music, despite being associated with Anakin and Padme's falling in love in
the music wasn't that bad in the prequels.
No, it was amazing. Yeah. There's so many good themes in those especially in the first two movies.
Why can't they get back?
I think John Williams is... No, I don't know. He's getting a bit old. He might be a bit senile. Anyway, so anything else to say about this? I mean, it sounds like we've just been completely negative, but overall, I liked the movie, even if it wasn't amazingly enjoyable, but it didn't give me the same, hey, that was a really great movie reaction that I had when I first watched The Force Awakens, even though I had no desire to, it turns out I had no desire to watch The Force Awakens again. This was a movie where I was like, okay, there's stuff going on here, and I want to see it again to make sure that it's set in my mind that my opinion of this movie. Do you understand?
I think, in this movie, for me, there were sections that were enjoyable as a movie. I don't think it is one of those Star Wars movies that I totally must see again.
No.
And also, I think if you would mix up The Force Awakens Part 1, half of the movie.
The first half of that movie,
maybe some bits and pieces from this movie, it can get like really good.
Yeah, there's some really good bits.
But overall, this stuff, the ingredients of the Star Wars stuff don't hold up to just another of those full 2.5 hours,
two and a quarter hours, 2 hours, 10 minutes, or whatever it is.
It just doesn't hold up because it just gets so boring. And I can feel myself analysing constantly.
Yeah. I noticed that when I was in the cinema last night, two nights ago. It was a midnight showing, so it's difficult for me to work out what's going on. But it is one of those things that as I'm watching it, I'm going, it's this prequel problem. If you're writing a story to an ending, it's really difficult not to include plot holes. And when I watched it, like, I was like, oh, did that make sense? Oh, and there's another thing here. And then I thought, you know, when yesterday you were like, what were you laughing at in the bathroom? I was like, oh, this thing happened, and I think I worked out why it was. And then I watched it again, and I was like, oh no, that was a plot hole. I thought I had worked out what the line was. I'll tell you about it once we stop recording, because there's no need to go into the spoilers. But, and then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, no, that is a spot. And I watched it again, I was like, no, that is a massive plot hole. Like, that, the ship that went there was carrying this thing there, and it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. So I just think they could have toned it down. Like, at the end, instead of having a massive space battle, this is what I'm saying, just turn up with two ships and just be cleverer than a full frontal assault with the X-Wings, because we know X-Wings are a bit shit. You know, every time that X-Wings ever saved the day in the prequels, it was actually the Millennium Falcon coming in and actually saving the day. Yeah. You know, they were never good enough. It was always, they only succeeded with the Millennium Falcon. So anyway, I think that's enough about that.
Yeah, I can't say anything more.
We don't need to do spoilers.
We're not going further into
3D,
things.
It was terrible. The music was garbage.
Just watch it on TV at home.
No, go to the cinema. I think it's kind of a cinema movie.
But it's quite difficult to find cinemas to show 2D movies. Like
Weirdly
this.
Enough, even though it's getting to the point now. I'm glad I went to see this as a midnight screening, because if this is the quality of this future Star Wars movies,
I would never do it again.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, I just don't have confidence in it. Even though I know Garth Edwards is a good movie maker, the Godzilla movie was great, but like, if you get someone who's that good at directing, who's that kind of vision, who could come in and take control of one of these movies, I don't want to see him. I want him to tell a story that he wants to tell.
Yeah.
You know, if they'd have said, hey, come in, do something with monsters, like you did with your movie called Monsters, and then your movie called Godzilla. Mm. Tell a monster story. Tell the story of, like, how the Rancor was captured or something. You know, that kind of thing. Like, just come in, do any story you want.
Tell a story that is not just the same thing.
He could have told it in detail.
And just tell about a creature.
Yeah.
One thing that we saw.
He could have done a great disaster movie, monster movie, like, some planet somewhere. And, you know, they come in, and guess who saves the day? fucking Jedis come in and save the day. Why not like that? And it would be fun, totally fun. And that's what Garth Edwards could have done, you know. So I kind of, in a way, I thought, oh, these side movies are going to be great because it's not going to be the main story and it's going to be a standalone story. And in the end, I'm kind of disappointed that it isn't. It just feels like another main sequence movie, they say. But it isn't. It's not a main sequence movie. You don't watch it in order and it doesn't... Nah. Like, if it's going to end with TIE fighter battles and stuff like that, when really what I wanted was men running around in corridors and women running around in corridors and jumping across chasms and droids going, ooh, and lightsaber battles and stuff like that. Like, the space battles, that it just feels so cheap and easy to do now that I'm not impressed by it. There are some moments at the actually in the space battle I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But I didn't care. Nobody was in space that I cared about.
Do you think there are kids out there who would start the Star Wars experience with this movie?
No, you can't. There's nothing. It's like PG-13 for a reason. It's pretty, like, it's like, oh, it's dark. No, it is. There is. Like, you don't set off this thing. Also, the script, they kept on saying the one word over and over and over again in these really heavy-handed way. Even the last word of the movie is this word. And I'm like, stop saying that word. It doesn't mean what you can't just keep saying the word over and over. And there's another word as well, trap. And they keep saying, it's like, yeah, sure, one fun quote of one movie is something about a trap, but you don't just have to. If you just keep saying it in every situation, it loses its meaning.
You see, this is what I mean. This is not the ingredients. This is the spice. Yeah. And this gets also repeated. It's like,
you can't just say, oh, they did this with a trap. It could be a trap. Is this a trap? Stop. If you keep saying it loses its meaning.
It's like eating potato soup in slightly different variations. Slight means you have some herbs on the top.
Yeah.
Or maybe some extra bits of vegetable in it. But the overall thing is always going to be potato soup.
I'm just saying the word hope and the word trap, if they keep using it out of context, by the time you get to the end of the movie, it doesn't mean anything. Like, the words don't mean anything anymore.
What else was there without any use? The word force. There was no... No!
But the point is...
There was no anything that meant anything had to do with the Force.
The thing is, the Force is defined within the movie, though. Like, the Star Wars movies define what the Force is. So I give them a pass of saying what the Force is. But the word trap has a meaning in English, and the word hope has a meaning in English. And if you keep butchering that meaning, it doesn't have any meaning anymore. The Force can be anything, because it's nebulous. It's what holds the universe together. There's midichlorians. Like, force is something in universe that can be played with, like the capabilities of an X-Wing fighter. Like, if those X-Wing fighters could do what they did in this movie, why didn't they use them on Hoth? They were really handy on Hoth. Why did they use the speeders, the snow speeders on Hoth? If they had... They had X-Wings because Luke gets out of his speeder and he goes over to an X-Wing and takes him. If they could have used... Anyway, it's one of those things that you just go, well, why didn't... So it doesn't matter. In universe, the Force can be one thing, the spaceship capabilities can be one thing or whatever. But the word trap has a meaning, and what they were saying, oh, he set a trap. And it's like, that isn't what a trap is. That isn't what it means. Oh, what is this? What have they... That isn't what hope is. Stop saying those words in those ways. Just because hope and trap have been used many times in Star Wars, you can't just put them on a loop. Otherwise, it's, you know, like when you say the same word over and over again to yourself. Like,
yeah,
cabbage, cabbage, cabbage. And after 2 minutes of saying cabbage, you're like, is that even... Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yeah.
You know? And it feels a bit like that with the word hope and trap in this movie. Anyway... I don't want to be too critical, and I remember saying this exactly about The Force Awakens. It was like, no, I enjoyed the movie. I think it's good. You should see it. But in the end, we just spend all the time saying what we don't like about it. Oh, man, that music was so bad.
It was. Sitting in the car in the parking garage, and currently the lights are going off, and Luke is sitting here singing weird music. I don't think I like that.
This is Michael Giacchino's... Who lets him do this? Like, who goes, hey, that guy who wrote that really shit score to the Star Trek movies and these other movies, and I just hear his music, and it's just
he probably
garbage.
Has a contract.
He must. I guess he's J.J. Abrams' normal music guy.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't care. It didn't affect... Like, the only thing that affected my... Like, I didn't even notice the music so much.
Oh, I did. It was so
What I did was... I noticed the... Stop it! when I
that's
noticed,
how annoying it was to me.
Yeah, when I noticed the music, it was always when John Williams' themes came in.
And then you're like, ah.
Yeah, and then I thought like,
but then you twist them in some way.
Like, it was always like ended in different like, and you think like, oh no.
Yeah, it's like, oh clever, you're making new themes out of the old themes. No, he's not. He's just taking a theme and like changing the last two notes of the theme. And I was like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Like that, those John Williams notes went in the order because that's the thing.
It has a reason.
It has a reason, a musical reason to put that together. Anyway. Maybe I'm a bit overly protective.
Musical
thing of my own Star Wars products in the past. That's the thing. It's even with this thing, when he messes around with the love theme from episode 2, I'm like, no, don't do that to that thing. Yeah. That's not even... These characters aren't even in love. You know, what are you even doing here? Why is there a love theme being played here?
And then at one point he plays... Like
I mean, of course, it does make sense in some points because it is a prequel, so it's okay if he plays the Leia theme and things like that. So you're like, okay, I understand a bit of that, you know, some of the playfulness that he's doing there. But, like, anyway, that's enough about that. I can't always rag on about Michael Giacchino's...
Giacchino?
I can't always rag on about his scores, even though I don't think he's written four notes that go together in his life that are
satisfying.
I mean,
you have written... some music to a picture, but that is something totally different.
I do have a degree in music, creative music technology and production.
He has done like major movie things,
and I think he should stop working. I think he needs to go away, learn what music is, and come back. Right, that's it. Thanks a lot for listening to our impromptu. We were driving in the car and talking about this, so decided to record it. And now I'm going to explain the massive plot holes to Juliana if she's interested.
Yeah. Tell me. Yay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.